I just feel it in my bones. Have your Bibles, and you should always have your Bibles. When you come to church, here. Amen. John, the fourth chapter, is the place where we're ministering, starting to minister tonight. John, the fourth chapter. And we're beginning at verse 46. John, the fourth chapter. And we're beginning at verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. But Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And if you don't have it underscored in your Bible, please underscore what follows here in John the fourth chapter, verse 50. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I'd like to just give this title to this time of sharing and this service, a faith that believes God. A faith that believes God. You might say, now that sounds strange, but it's not. The Bible is very emphatic about the word faith. The Bible is very emphatic about believing or believes God. But I want to just look into this a little closer, and let's have a better understanding about a faith that believes God. The Word of God tells us in Romans 12:3 that God has given to every believer the measure of faith. Now, I hope everyone that you believe you heard what I said and you embrace that, you understand that. That's one of the cardinal truths of this church. That's one of the cardinal truths of this church. You know, some people say, well, just pray that I'll have faith. You have faith. Well, just, you know, like pray for some special dispensation that I'll have faith when there is no faith. But every born-again believer, it comes with your salvation package. It's a warranty. It's a guarantee. It's a covenant blessing of your salvation. You have received the measure of faith. And I know especially among denominational folks who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I remember a man that did a great job of, he blessed me years ago. I used to hear it on the old KSKY program. And he was a denominational man. They did not believe in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nor, you know, receiving tongues. And he did so good in everything that he ministered, except he would say, "Oh God, please give us faith. God, please give us faith." And he was a learned man. The man had some very impressive earned degrees, and he had humility with that too. But I remember how many times in the car I said, "You've got it. You have faith. You already have faith. If you're born again," and I know the man was born again after just listening from time to time and what he would have to say. He really was born again, but he didn't have a revelation of who he was in Christ, and he didn't have a revelation of the fact that when you're born again, God gives you a measure of faith. You say, how powerful is that? What are you ready for? What are you up to? But we look at this nobleman. I salute him because his son was sick and he comes to Jesus. And you have someone that's ill, someone that's sick. A ray of hope is like a spotlight from heaven. If you're in the hospital and you're not feeling, you know, I had an opportunity to really believe God with my leg with an infection there. And I mean, any good news was gladly received. Amen. Gladly received. I was believing God, but it was good to hear that from the proper sources. So his son is sick unto death. He has not died as yet. But he will die if he's not healed miraculously by the power of God. And so he comes to Jesus. Now here's what he said to Jesus. "Lord, I want you to come down and heal my son." From what I think I understand about distance, he was talking about Jesus traveling about 45 miles by foot or donkey. Surely someone would loan our good Lord a donkey, hopefully. Amen. But what he was saying was, if you'll only come to my house, my son who is in the process of, he'll die if he doesn't receive his healing, he will be healed. I need you to come to my house. You see, he wanted healing on his terms. And it wasn't an arrogant thing, but healing on his limited understanding of the greatness of God. I mean, that's about as far as he could stretch his faith for the Lord to come to his house. And if Jesus can only come to my house, well, then my son's life will be spared. And as you look into what Jesus had to say, when Jesus heard, was come out of Judea and Samaria, he went unto him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders. He said, your faith is not working. You have faith. He didn't tell him he had faith, but he had faith, but your faith is not working unless you see signs and wonders. Lord, help me to say it in a simplified way, that some people say, I'll believe it when I see it. I will believe when I see, or I'll believe when I receive. But the language of the scripture is, you believe it and then you see it. That's the language of the Word of God. You believe it and you receive it. I want to just work on that just for a moment. You see, most people have the mentality, I'll see it when I believe it. And therefore, some people sometimes say unkind things about people who have faith in God. But you take just a little simple, they've changed a lot. It's becoming a little more social, it seems. But I know there was a time, just like in Guidepost, which was very much a denominational, inspirational little booklet that would come, or a little magazine that would come out. But they were always printing some kind of miracle. I mean, breakthrough. I mean, something phenomenal. I mean, just, it wasn't normal. It wasn't denominational. It wasn't evangelical. But I mean, far out, supernatural breakthroughs would be printed. So you see, at best, we feel like we're really getting spiritual when we say, "Lord, I believe it when I see it." But the Lord says, "No, no, no, you don't understand. You believe it and then you see it." You say, "How long is it going to take?" It could go from a split second to hours, days, a few years. It could. But you believe it, then you receive it. And Jesus said, "Go your way. I'm not going with you. Go your way." He came thinking Jesus would go with him. And of course, we know spiritually today that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. You know that. But he said, "Go your way." No, it's not going to be like you thought it was going to be, but it will be. And the thing that I want to plant in our heart and stir up, I mean, God stirred this up in my heart for 2 days now. This has been just very much in my spirit. You have faith. But far too often, even those who have the understanding and the revelation that they have faith are lazy about their faith. And the thing is, what we need to receive from God is a faith that believes God. Belief acts on your faith. Your belief acts on your faith. So he comes saying, "If Jesus can only go with me, my son will be healed." But now Jesus is asking him, "You go in your faith." In essence, that's what he was saying. I'm not going with you, but you go in your faith. And Jesus said unto him, he besought him that he would come and heal his son at the point of death. But Jesus said, "Go thy way." In verse 50, "Thy son liveth." Go thy way. Believe God. Believe. Go. Are we communicating tonight? You've got faith. There's not a born-again believer in this room that does not have faith. But what he's saying is, put your faith to work. Belief, put your faith to work. I don't know that I've ever said it just quite like that before. But Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man had a decision to make. Am I going to hold on to, "I'll believe it when I see it"? Or am I going to obey the word of the Lord? There's a decision to make here. There's a decision. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just telling you, I believe it's clarified some things in my own heart. Go thy way. No, I'm not going with you. You're going home by yourself. Of course, we know the truth of it is, it didn't have to be by himself. Amen. We have him with us today. Go thy way. Your son liveth. And he could have bowed up right then and said, you don't understand. You don't care. I thought you were a compassionate Jesus. I heard all these wonderful things about you, and I've come to you, Lord, and you won't even go home with me. You won't go with me. But Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Just go your way in faith, believing. It's happening. And the man, I'm right here in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, verse 50, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. He didn't balk. He didn't sulk. He didn't get mad at Jesus. But he went his way. The man believed the word. Hallelujah. The man believed the word. Or it could just as well read, the woman believed the word. Young David before Goliath believed the word. He believed the word. Caleb at 85 years of age said, I believe God. You see, you have faith, but I'm challenging us tonight, put your faith to work. Give your faith a job. Invest more than minimum wage in your faith. Amen. Have faith in God, yes, have faith in God. But whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. I feel faith building up in people's hearts here tonight. Yeah. The man believed the word. I could stay on that one emphasis in the middle of that verse for the rest of whatever time I speak tonight and be right on course. The man believed the word of God. God, let it be said that Bob Nichols believed the word of God. Amen. I have things in my life like you have things in your life. I have people in my life. I have family in my life that need miracles from God. And by faith, I know that God is a miracle working God. But I've got to keep my faith on my belief working on my faith in that project. So things that you've prayed about, things that you've sown seed toward, things that you've confessed the right thing, things when you've chosen to do the right thing when you didn't have to. Just keep on believing God. Paul, in the midst of the storm, said to those sailors, I've heard from heaven. I've heard from heaven, and I believe God. Oh, the power of putting your faith to work. Oh, this is good. And the man believed the word. I want to go home saying that tonight. This man believes the word. You say, well, wait a minute. But he had a word from Jesus. We've got it in print. He didn't have this word in print. You know, we think about Abraham, you say, well, yeah, I guess so. If God came to you and God, you know, sat down with you at the flap of your tent and talked to you. But, you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy. But it won't work, it can't work, it will not work until you keep your faith working through believing God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, yes, I believe God is. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a hell. I believe in doing the right thing. I believe in angels. But do you believe all that stuff for you? See, there's the test. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Wow. Then, of course, he inquired, when did it happen? It happened at the seventh hour. And, you know, it's interesting because he had taken note of the very moment when Jesus, when he believed the word. He wrote it in his diary. He had a record of believing God. He knew what the time was when he believed God. Hallelujah. And you know, really, this crowd tonight doesn't need that probably, but I'm having fun ministering the word anyway. But you know, you need to keep the word of God on your body. Keep the word of God on your mind. That I have the mind of Christ, I have the wisdom of God. Keep the word of God on your body. I'll tell you, Caleb, I want to talk to him when I get to heaven. That man's been such an inspiration. Here he is, 85 years of age. And when he was one of those spies, the guys that were with him were young guys. I mean, Caleb and Joshua were the old guys. You know, the old guys don't know anything. You know, they're over the hill. Depends on which hill you're looking at. But it was the young guys that came back and said, "We can't get there from here. It won't work." And God said, "Well, okay, we'll wait 40 years, let you get a little bit older so you'll get smart too. But you're not going in. You're not going in." And they did not go into their inheritance. Caleb and Joshua believed God. Yeah, there's giants there. Yeah, there's challenges. There will always be challenges. I know I've talked to a lot of young ministers about, you know, pastoring over a period of time. And, you know, I just got smart years ago as long as I felt that I knew the will of God and I was in the will of God. But I've seen these preachers, every time you turn around, they'd take a pastorate for 2 years. They'd have a honeymoon with a deacon board for 1 year and then hell the next year and then looking for a church in between. And how many churches did they pastor over that period of time? You know, your father had that same revelation to stay planted with what God gave you. Amen. These nickels kind of hang in there, you know. Praise God. But, you know, the young guys went over and it freaked them out. It freaked them out. Well, you know, it won't work. Caleb and Joshua said, "No hill for a climber, man. Look at the grapes. Look at the milk. Look at the honey. No problem. Only problem is if you don't believe. If you believe, you can do it. May take a little while, but it shall come to pass." And the word of God went on to say, "So the father knew." Oh, I love that. So the father knew. You know, it's amazing. I don't know how many times it's in the word of God, but you know, and they knew, and they knew, and they knew. You know, the man at Gate Beautiful, you know, they knew who he was. They knew where he had been begging for all those years. They knew, and they knew. They knew. They could not deny it. They'd passed that beggar's cup so many times, and they knew. They knew. They knew, and you'll find that same, virtually that same expression in many different situations. So the father knew. The father knew. That it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. Praise be unto God. And this is only the second miracle, of course, that Jesus was a part of. So the nobleman came to Jesus, and he wanted healing on the terms of his own understanding. But Jesus said, "No, you go your way. Use your faith. Use your faith." And Jesus said, "Go your way, your son lives." If he had not gone his way, the son would not have lived. He made that decision. Jesus said, in essence, to this man, use your own faith. Go your way. Your son liveth. Go back home. Go home in faith, believing. And the Bible said, and I couldn't say it too often, this is one of those bedrock truths of the entire Word of God. And the man believed the Word. God spoke to Moses. Hebrews 11. God spoke to Moses and Moses believed the Word. God spoke to Moses' mother and she believed the Word. Hebrews 11 is people who believed the Word. They believed the Word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He believed the Word. And today we have a more sure word of promise. We have the printed Word of God. And as he went home, praise God, God was at work. God was at work. God was at work. And you know, as you leave here tonight, did you know God's at work while you're in church? And he's going to be working with you all the way home. And he's going to be working with you in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he believed by his going home without Jesus. That was the game plan to begin with. But without Jesus, he believed his son would be healed. And now we look at that one thing that he said. Jesus said, you know, there's some people, unless you see signs and wonders and miracles, you won't believe. You see, again, religion's got this thing, when I see it, I'll believe it. But the Word says, believe it and you'll see it. I know that's very simple, but that's also the Word of God. You remember in Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 8, the man said, speak the word only. You don't have to come to my house. Now, here's a man that comes to Jesus. You don't have to come to my house, but just speak the word only. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. I love what the late Dr. Lester Sumrall said about that. He said, you know, just speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Thank God. Thank God. He said the nicest thing they've ever said about Pentecostals or charismatics was to call us word people. And we are people of the word. This church has been built on the word of God. I don't know anything else to do. I don't know any other direction to go. But the foundation of this house has been from day one the Word of God. The Word of God. Speak the Word only. My servant will be healed. Hallelujah. And Jesus has already spoken His Word. I said Jesus has already spoken His Word. Well, hallelujah. We started off with a man whose son was dying and he comes to Jesus and Jesus seems a bit cold-hearted unless you understand where he's coming from. But you see, healing did come, and that son was miraculously raised up. And the word that I want to leave with us tonight is, you have faith. You have faith. You have faith. You have faith. Sunday night when I did minister, didn't I? Ministered. Somebody, this has been a fast track here lately. But I was talking to someone here, and you know, I'm not a side door preacher. I don't come in with my bodyguards and disappear, you know. Amen. That's okay too, I understand. You know, when you're real famous, why other things have to fall in place too, but You know, by the time I left, we just had Brother Wayne Blue and his wife and Brother Walter, and I think Roseanne was around. So I go out to my car, put the key in, and it's dead as a hammer. Well, I remembered my first experience with that car when I couldn't get it started, and I was pressing the radio button instead of the ignition button. That didn't work. So I made sure that I was pressing the right button. I mean, there wasn't a light. It was D-double-D dead. And, you know, it's really amazing. I think of all these high-tech automobiles and trucks that we have here in the States. What in the world do those things do overseas? I don't know. So Brother Wayne Blue got Brother Walter to go get a Coca-Cola. And, you know, that simple Coca-Cola that you drink so many of, some of you. He poured the Coca-Cola over the battery cable. It was corroded. And the corrosion melted. And I thought, well, what does that do to me, you know? And it started. So the battery was there, but the battery cable became corroded. See, God never fails. Let's reverently call God the battery. But the battery did not fail. It was corrosion. It was corrosion. And you can just apply that to all of us. All of us can identify with that. You know, we just get lazy or foolish, or we get preoccupied and maybe not have the word level, or, you know, keep our intimacy with God for a day or two. You know, we can't afford to be like the parents of Jesus. They were 3 days and didn't even know their son wasn't there. I never have figured that one out. Joseph and Mary were sharp, but the dots didn't come together on that deal. Can you imagine 3 days and you don't know where your young son is? Not my mama. Amen. Praise God. But you see, what God's calling us to do is keep the corrosion. Keep the corrosion. Keep the battery clean. Keep the connections clean. You say, well, it's not a matter of heaven or hell. Oh, yeah, it is on earth. Because we create our own heaven and our own hell earthwise. I don't mean for eternity, but I mean, you know, you act like hell in your marriage, you're going to have a marriage like hell. You know, that's just the way it works. You're mean and ugly to people. You're dishonest. You don't tell the truth. You're going to reap what you sow. And God will forgive you for that, but you need to get that out of the way as soon as possible. But what I'm saying, let's keep our faith working. Let's keep our faith working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep our faith working. I mean, God hasn't quit. Jesus never fails. The Word of God always works one way or another. And you believe that when you trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, that your eternal destiny changed, will have the same bedrock faith in the trivial things, seemingly trivial things of life. And the man believed the word. And the man believed. Oh, hallelujah. And the man believed. Well, I've worked around it and worked around it and worked around it. How many little Scotch ladies do we have? I've got it. That's what I heard in Perth, Australia when I went there for the first time. Amen. Instead of amen, she said, I've got it. Came up to me after the message and after the graduation there in Perth, Australia. She said, thank you, Pastor Nichols, for bringing us the word. She said, my granddaughter's graduating from Bible college here. But she said, this is the first time I've been in a church like this, but I've got it. And she said, I bake so well, I'm going home and I'm going to put electricity in my house at the crossroads, and I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start a bakery. And she went home, and I got a praise the Lord on that. Went home, and she'd never had electricity. She just lived by candle power, I guess. I don't know. Little Scottish woman. And she hooked her house up with electricity and started a bakery and became a businesswoman because she could say, I've got it. I've got it. Oh, when you've got it, you can do great things. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. I've got it.